This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Challenging the Norm. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Lots of people crate their dogs, often for many hours at a time. Reporter Chad Slayman has been wanting to get a dog, but this idea of a crate seems strange to him. Chad grew up in the country, and dogs were always in the yard. So he was wondering, how did crating become the norm, and should it be?
Half the dogs start barking as soon as I walk in. But not Scrappy. He's this black spaniel mix, and he stands out because he's so chill. He just checks out my microphone, lying on his side in a kennel at the Morris Animal Refuge in Philadelphia.
He was adopted and returned back a few months ago. Actually, maybe about a month ago.
That's J.R. Rogers. He's a caretaker here. He says Scrappy has actually been shuffled between a few owners.
Adopted, return, for certain reasons.
That's the case with a lot of the dogs here. Some bite, some hate the cat or the kids. Another big reason? The dog doesn't take to the dog crate. These locking cages, usually made of metal wiring.
They get like stressed out, agitated, and start biting bars and start yelling and screaming.
Crates are big enough for the dog to stand and turn around in, but not much more. JR tells me they're pretty common in the city, where most people live in smaller places, don't have yards.
They buy crates from Petco or PetSmart and crate train them. And sometimes some dogs not used to being crate trained. They may try to hurt themselves, abuse themselves by biting the wires of the cage and cutting their gums because they've never been crate trained before.
Crate training, at its most basic, means keeping a puppy in one of these things for housebreaking. The idea being they'll learn to hold it rather than soil in a confined space. But crating is also widely used with adult dogs, basically to keep them from destroying stuff when left alone.
It's the first thing we teach.
That's Annalise Curtin. She's worked as a dog trainer, and she says the crate is good for both the owner and for the dog.
And regardless of how old the dog is, because you need the crate because it's their safe space.
But all the guidelines I could find on how long to use a dog crate are super vague. Basically, no more than 4 hours for a puppy, all the way to less than all day and night for an adult. So I ask, what about a full 8-hour workday?
It's totally fine. As long as the crate is introduced properly, like if they had separation anxiety and were freaking out in the crate, then they need to see a trainer because you have a risk of the dog injuring itself.
I called up a bunch of other trainers, and they all told me this exact same thing. With proper training, the crate is actually calming, tapping into something natural for dogs.
They are den animals, and when introduced properly, it allows them to just relax and feel safe. Just, you know, it's somewhere for them to go. You know, in the wild, wolves hung out in caves, you know, and dens and stuff. So, like, it's just in them.
She's referring to what's typically called a denning instinct. Popular online trainers talk about it all the time.
Here I have his little den set up. I have puppy-approved
toys. But dogs are denning animals. Ultimately, they like it dark.
It's like a safe spot. Dogs like to be in dens or small areas. They concur.
The idea is dogs seek out confined spaces, make dens out of them, like their wolf ancestors. The denning instinct pops up all over. It's the very first line of the U.S. Humane Society's dog crating page. But the strange thing is, even though I kept running into it, I could never nail down where the denning instinct idea comes from. What study? Whose research?
Well, it comes from...
Is it bullshit? I mean, is it just...
It is bullshit.
That's Carlo Siracusa, a veterinarian and behaviorist at the University of Pennsylvania. He says it's true wolves have a denning instinct, but the idea that dogs have one too, Carlo says that comes from pretty flawed science, these old observational studies.
The majority of them were done in the 70s or earlier. They studied dogs and wolves in captivity. Starting from the assumption that because they are closely related species and one is the ancestor of the other, they were in some way comparable.
They noticed something big. There was constant aggressive competition. It appeared to be the defining behavior, both in wolves and in dogs.
Aggression is part of their regular way of communicating, so the whole dominance thing came out.
If you've ever heard a TV dog expert talk about alpha dogs or pack leader or whatever, this is where that comes from. This constant competitive aggression was the common thread that tied wolves and dogs together in the minds of some researchers and trainers. They figured if dogs and wolves share this core trait, they probably share a bunch of other behaviors, denning being one of them. But all this aggression wasn't actually natural. Carlo says it was just the result of the stress of captivity. And with more recent research, the gulf between wolf and dog behavior grew much wider.
We learned that they are two different species. They don't do the same thing, and they actually don't do the same thing well.
That's true for denning. Dogs don't do it on a regular basis. Mama dogs will den briefly, right after pups are born, and male dogs just can't be bothered at all.
They are like, I did my job, I'm out of here.
But by the time all this was coming out, the older, flawed ideas of wolf-dog similarities and denning were already widespread. Media mentions of denning first start cropping up in the 80s in a syndicated newspaper column.
The Family Pet.
It recommends dog crates for all kinds of behavior issues. One clipping has instructions to write an education fund for more info. It looks like it's linked to a poodle breeding group. They put out this pamphlet.
A Pet Owner's Guide to the Dog Crate.
It's unclear who actually funded it. The author passed away.
Cruelty or kindness? As the pet owner sees it, it's like a jail. It's cruel. I'd never put my dog in a cage like that. If this is your first reaction to using a crate, you are a very typical pet owner.
And you'd be wrong, typical pet owner in the 80s, because...
If your dog could talk, he would tell you that the crate helps to satisfy the den instinct from his den-dwelling ancestors and relatives, and that he's not afraid or frustrated when closed in.
This pamphlet talks about dog crating as already long trusted by breeders and dog pros. It could be part of the seed that got regular dog owners to start using them at home. Pet training professionalized in the 90s and early 2000s. Some big names used crates, some of them on TV and later online. I talked to a big crate maker, Midwest Homes for Pets, to track when sales started taking off.
And you guys are a metal company? Or you started as a metal company?
Yes. So Midwest Metal Products is our parent company. It was founded in 1921. The first product they made, I think, was called the Cruise Switchbox.
That's spokesperson Tara Whitehead. She tells me they also used to make wire rubbish bins for trash burning. Then, in the 50s, the company caught wind some guy in Detroit was buying these things in bulk, using them to keep dogs.
I'm not sure what his industry was. I don't know if he was a breeder or a rescue or just a guy that had a lot of dogs. But
the company tweaked the design of their bin, made it into a crate. The Sears catalog picked it up in the 60s. By the 80s, they were selling so many, they created a separate crate-focused business. And today?
We're doing more and more sales year over year. It's not slowing down. It doesn't get affected by recessions.
Their most recommended product is an adult-sized crate with dividers you remove as the dog grows from puppy into old age. Market analysts tell me about a third of all dog owners have a dog crate. Or I should specify, a third of all American dog owners.
La libertà di movimento deve essere adeguata alla razza e alla taglia del cane.
That's Carlo again, the pen behaviorist. Another reason I wanted to talk to him is because he's from Sicily. He's reading an Italian animal welfare law.
It says that the space that an animal has to have, it's a minimum of 20 square meters.
That's 215 square feet, a large living room. Again, a dog crate just has to be big enough for the animal to stand up and turn around.
The difference is huge.
And it's not just Italians. Carlo has worked as a veterinarian all over Europe. He says crating just wasn't a thing. The same is true in Australia. In Sweden, it's actually outlawed. I spoke with Emma Almquist, a Swedish Hund instructor, and she recalls only ever reading about it in American pet books.
I read in those books that you could teach your dog to go in a crate and feel happy in the crate and sleep in the crate. And I was like, yeah, okay, I guess. That's nice, but why?
She says owners there are expected to devote months to puppy-proofing their homes, training, instead of looking to a crate.
So I didn't really understand why.
It's a close to uniquely American practice, at least as a routine part of dog ownership. Carlo thinks part of it is convenience, and this American idea that if you want a dog, it's your right to have one.
Here is more, is far less common for someone to tell to another person, maybe you should not have a dog, right? And many people will get offended. But it's very common in Europe that people will tell, I don't think you can get a dog, like you have a crazy life.
He says even if you make them cozy, these crates are not dens. They come with locks.
Let's say a dog is afraid of noises, right? There is a sudden noise and they get scared. Then they cannot run away. Or even something as simple as not just running and hiding, but just running around to dissipate your anxiety. It's something that we do continuously with humans. We pace when we are nervous. Some dogs like to do the same.
He doesn't say never use a crate or even never leave a dog in a crate when you go to work. But he says you always have to interrogate. Are you doing this for your dog or for you? How is this member of your family experiencing all this?
Our love to animals is not enough. We might love animals, but if our condition now were not ideal to keep an animal, maybe we might think, is my love enough for that creature? Probably it's not.
He tells me I can really and truly love my dog with all my heart.
But this love does not necessarily correspond to empathy.
Here, Carlo stresses something. The crate shouldn't be the rule, the norm, but that's not just because it's small. You can leave a dog alone in a huge backyard or give him run of the entire house, but more than space, dogs need our presence. They need us to be there.
What we have done with selection, we have twisted this sociability of dogs and oriented it towards humans.
Through purposeful domestication, we chose the dogs that loved us the most, that wanted to be near us the most, generation after generation for thousands of years.
We have done this with selection. We have created an animal that is very dependent on us to pee, to poop, to eat, to do anything.
Dogs need us. We made sure of that. Some studies show they prefer humans even over other dogs. Carlo says, with this in mind, there's a danger the crate can become an excuse. To stay out later, to take your time getting home from this errand or that. He's in a crate, it's his den, he likes it, and, well, it's locked. Not like he can tear up the couch. I took all this to Annalise, the trainer I spoke with earlier. I told her none of this is real, denning, alpha, pack leaders. I told her about Italy and Sweden, but she tells me there's something else at stake.
A lot of the dogs that I trained were going to be put down because treat training didn't work for them.
Vets and trainers would tell owners their troublesome pets were out of options.
And they were like, oh, there's nothing else you can do. You have to put this dog down. So I was working with dogs who literally, I was their last resort.
Some dogs just didn't learn with treats or clicker training. In these cases, the crate was the only thing that worked, the only thing that kept them from destroying the house.
My main thing is just don't put the dog down if it doesn't want the treat. that's just what kills me.
Annalise doesn't train anymore. Part of it, she says, it got too heartbreaking. One owner admitted to her he wished he could get rid of his dog, just start over with a new one that was less of a hassle. So maybe the crate can do some good, make dogs easier for us, and maybe that keeps some from getting returned to JR at the animal refuge, or worse, to an overflowing kill shelter. I still really want a dog, but crate or no, what's clear now is a dog is a bigger commitment than I thought. Maybe more than a lot of us think. And I'm not there yet. But back at the Morse Animal Refuge, I did linger a bit in the cat room on my way out. I may just head back for another look. Cats are easy, right? I mean, they sleep all day, they go in a litter box, you don't have to walk them.